All right, tonight I felt to kind of do an addendum, a follow-up on what John was so wonderfully speaking of the 3 days he was here. How many felt a real peace about some of the messages he brought? I mean, there's a fear that is trying to inundate the body of Christ and Christians all over the world. But how many know we have nothing to fear? Two people know we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear. God is on the throne. Amen. He's going to take care of us. Amen. He's got it all worked out. And I'm so glad about that. And so tonight I won't keep you long. I just want to talk about standing fast in the promises of God. Title of the message tonight is to stand fast. And I was thinking about that. You know, standing fast means that you're firm. It means that nothing is going to move you off the square that God's put you on the rock. David said it like this. He lifted me up out of the pit of destruction and out of the miry clay in Psalm 40 and set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. And so the Word of God says in several places to stand fast. And it's the decree of the hour that we are in. Staying the course is the call of the day for us in the body of Christ. We've got to stand strong. Folks, this gospel works. This Word of God works. It's worked for 2,000 years. It stood the test of time. There are historical proofs of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. In the past, the power of the gospel has changed cities. It's changed nations. It's changed continents. So how many know there's power in the Word of God? There's power in His kingdom. There's proof all down through the ages. There are changed lives all around us. Just look around the room. We're a bunch of has-beens, robbers, thieves, and murderers in this room. Come on, somebody. Just look around. We all know what we used to be. But Christ has made us new creations. This gospel works, folks. The Word foretells the days we are living in, and He supplied for the days we're living in. There's nothing to fear but God. We don't want to get on His wrong side. We get on His wrong side, no prayer in the world is going to help us. We want to stay with Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word tonight. Thank You, Lord, for the Word that You're bringing forth. Just as clear, a clarion call, Father, throughout the body of Christ all over the world. There's a resurgence of prayer. There's a resurgence of interest in Your Word again. Father, I thank You for what You're doing. We're glad to be a part of it. God, accelerate us into Your will. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. By the way, before I forget, we welcome a new member of the church, Gracie Renee Hayes. Was born yesterday. 8 pounds and change. I forget, 8 pounds, 6 ounces, or 8 pounds, 11 ounces. But it's 8 pounds and change. And she's just as cute as a button. She got more hair than me. Got more hair than John. And she looks just like John. And of course, that'll probably change 10 times in the first 6 weeks. But she looks like John. Both mom and baby are very healthy. She's coming home tomorrow with the baby. She's got all her toes and all her fingers. So that's Gracie, G-R-A-C-I-E, I ask, because I didn't know if it was I or I-E. Gracie Renee. Amen? So back to the message. Standing fast, if you're taking notes tonight, stand fast is to abide, appoint, bring, continue, covenant, establish, hold up, lay in the present, set up, stand by, stand for, stand still, or stand up. Stand fast means that you're immovable. God has made His church immovable. And if He's made His church immovable, He's made you and I immovable. When it says, thank God for each other, but individually we must be strong. There must be a resolve to do what we have been born for. We rule with Christ and have dominion with Him so that nothing occurring in this hour can shake us. It's just that much. It can't shake me. It can try, but I'm an immovable object when I'm challenged by the enemy. Come on, somebody. We've got to get that into our spirits, because days are coming when fear will grip us. The Word of God says we don't want to dwell on those things. Those are negative things. We want to talk about positive things. But the fact is, Jesus said men's heart would fail them for fear. That's the days that are coming upon us. Things will happen. Things will be shaken. But we have to stand fast. It's not just a good idea or an encouraging decree. It is a commandment to stand fast. What are we to stand fast for? Number one in your notes, stand fast in the faith. That's so very important. 1 Corinthians 16:13. We'll probably put up here. And if you would do me a favor, New King James Version only. We're going to get it though, right? Okay, 1 Corinthians 16:13, if you'll turn in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 16:13. 1 Corinthians, the first letter to the Corinthians, 16:13. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. What's it say? It says, stand fast in the faith, to be brave and to be strong. And so it encourages us, the Word of God, Paul writing the Corinthian church, which was faced with all kinds of challenges, he told them to be brave and be strong. Listen, faith dormant is fear active. Faith that lies dormant is fear that's very active. If we're not moving in faith, we're moving in fear. We can't have any mid-ground there. Faith is not faith if it is not acted on. The confession of faith is easy. The walking out is a learning process. We are challenged every day to live our faith, you and I. It doesn't matter what walk of life we have. It doesn't matter if we're retired or we're working or we're, anytime we're actively involved with the world, we're breathing in and breathing out, our faith is being challenged. Every time we read a news report, we hear a bad report, we hear a good report, our faith is always challenged. Faith is all we have to please God. Without faith, the Word of God, of course, says it's impossible to please Him. We cannot do these things on our own, but can do all things through Christ. Hallelujah. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ. And I love that word all, because it encompasses everything. Whatever God tells us to do, we are able, we have the ability, we have the anointing, we have the promise of God, the promise of His Word, that we're going to go through. We're going to make it through. No matter how many challenges we have, no matter how many times the enemy attacks us, we're to stand fast in the faith. Now, you'll notice all of these scriptures that I'm sharing tonight, by the way, and I'll make reference to it several times. It does not say pray for the faith, because you already have it. Faith is an active. Each man is given a measure of faith. How we grow it is up to us. We'll water it. Come on, somebody. How do we water it? We water it with the Word of God. We water it, we nourish it with the fertilizer of the Word, so that it grows all the time. It never regresses and always grows. Faith is something that, how many know anything God's involved with grows? And that's the same thing with faith. Stand fast, therefore, in the faith. Faith is all we have. Again, we don't have anything. The promises are yes and amen in Christ, and we must stand in the faith. Does anybody have an example tonight of walking in faith? Quickly. Something that you believed God for that came to pass. You walked in faith that came to pass. Quickly, somebody. Yes. Wow. Good. So you acted in faith and you received. Amen. There you go. There you go. When you're obedient to God, God shows up, doesn't He? Number two, stand fast in liberty. Now again, this does not say pray for freedom. Pray for liberty. Oh God, please make us free. Keep us free. God's already given us freedom. It says to stand fast. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, if you'll turn there. Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Galatians. Chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Stand fast, therefore, in freedom. Wow. That's a wonderful promise from the Word of God. It says that now we're free, we're stand fast in that freedom. Freedom was won for us. Therefore, any bondage is sin other than Christ. I'm a bond slave of Christ. Anything else I'm in bondage with, coming under any person or habit or activity or mindset, is leaving grace and entering the law. The very thing we were saved out of, we go back to. Come on, somebody. I don't do the things when God that I, because I have to, I do them because I'm insanely in love with Him. He set me free, made me free, made me free from the inside out. He gave me a whole new life. Therefore, I serve Him out of, and I'm a bond slave of His. It's not a coercion. It's a love relationship. That's what causes me to stand fast. And Paul was so concerned with that. The whole book of Galatians, if you study it, the whole book of Galatians is a treatise on liberty. It's a treatise on being free. Paul said they tried to sneak in and catch us in our freedom. How many know Christ made us free? It was for freedom, the Word of God says, that Christ made us free. So I'm going to give an example of walking in freedom. Walking in freedom. How did God make you free and walk free of something? Jackie. Amen. Amen. Yes. Good example. So we stand fast in freedom. Again, we don't pray, God, but give us freedom. God, give us freedom. God, give us freedom. We're free. We're beholding to no man. We're beholding to no institution. We're beholding to no church. We're free in God. Come on, somebody. We start getting entangled in institutions, we get in trouble, or mindsets. The very problem that the church is in today is we're trying to please everybody. We don't want to offend anybody. So we don't want to pray a certain way. We don't want to talk a certain way. We don't want to, but how many know the only one, we're free. We're free. God has made us free. I'm not out to offend anybody, but I'm going to obey the Lord because He made me free. Number three, stand fast in one spirit. Stand fast in one spirit. Of all the divisiveness that's taking place in the world, we've got to make it clear in our hearts that we're going to be as much as we can be in unity with our brothers. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, if you'll turn there. Philippians 1, 27. Stand fast in one spirit. Philippians 1, 27 says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So where does that start? Number one, it starts with husbands and wives. It starts at home being one in spirit. Come on, somebody. I don't know how you conduct things in your home. It's none of my business. I can tell you one thing. If my wife and I are in any kind of disagreement, we stop everything until we come in agreement. We don't make any decisions. We don't move forward in any way until we're one. Come on, somebody. It may take a while, but we're going to get there because we believe that God has called us to walk together in complete unity. And you see what unity does, even in Acts chapter 2. They were all with one accord in one place, and the Spirit of God came. Amen. And that's a law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. When we're walking in unity, and we need to strive for that. Over and against that, people that are the enemy of the cross, people that want to be divisive, we want to stay away from, have nothing to do with. But the ones that are in Christ, we need to embrace. These little differences we have, it's okay. Not everybody's going to think like me. I've prayed many times, God, could you make everybody just think like me and I get along? Come on, somebody. Am I the only one that's ever prayed that? If everybody would just think like I would, I'd be okay. I'm right anyway. And you know, I've only been wrong one time, and that's when I thought I was wrong. But it turns out I was right. But it's, you know, the thing is that unity is not that difficult. It's keeping our mouth shut and being willing to swallow our pride, because that's what disunity is we're prideful. We don't want to come in. We don't want to come in agreement. We don't want to admit we're wrong, or we want to prove somebody else is wrong. And God's never called us to that. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. I didn't read Philippians 1:27. Philippians 1:27 says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. I read that. Ephesians chapter 4 is what I'm looking for. I do. Oh, I do. Maybe it is Philippians chapter 4. Now you got me confused. Yeah, it's Ephesians chapter 4. I'm sorry, you can make that change. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And so Paul is reiterating and echoing what he said in Philippians, that we're to be in one bond of peace, one body, one Spirit. And that's very difficult sometimes. All kidding aside, we want sometimes to think that somebody else is wrong, and that means that they have it out for us. Or that means that they're not hearing God right, or they're not Christian. Or the enemy comes in and tries to make us be divisive, because if we're divided, if we have division, that's two visions, and we can't hear clearly from the Lord. We just need to trust that if somebody's wrong and a little bit off, give them a chance to hear from God. It just might be that while you're waiting for them to hear from God, you'll hear from God and you'll come into their way of thinking. Go on, somebody. Have you ever had that happen? It's so very important, especially in this hour when the world is slowly turning toward the church again and saying, what have you got? We need to hear this message again. They need to see that we're in one Spirit and in one mind. Our worship, our prayers and lives are intermeshed and consistent with keeping in unity. We act in unity together and apart, not gossip or slander. We refuse to say things against people. We refuse to say, unless we know that for a fact, because we need to mark those that are the enemies of the cross, those kinds of things. But for the most part, we want to come together in unity, standing fast in the unity of the Spirit. I'll give an example of walking in unity. We had some, the Holy Ghost fell up in New York, and we had meetings 2-3 nights a week. And the church that we met in, it was a central location, was United Methodist Church. And the pastor allowed us to use the church, but he wasn't too keen on the move of the Spirit. See? And so he'd sit in the back with his arms folded, with a scowl on his face. The Holy Spirit would move and he'd just sit there with a scowl on his face. One night, two nights, three nights, four nights, five nights, six nights. He just sat in the back. He wanted to make sure. I don't know if he thought we were going to paint the sanctuary red or, you know, do something weird, but he wanted to make sure we didn't get out of place. He allowed us to use his sanctuary. But about after 2 weeks of meeting that, just loving on him, just loving on him, thank you very much for letting us use the sanctuary. And so after a couple weeks, I started asking him to come up and help pray. Pastor, could you come and help pray? And he would come up, just, you know, he'd kind of stand back. You know, you'd be praying up here and he'd be praying back here. And he moved up a little bit. And after a little while, man, he was laying hands on people. They were going out in the ghost, man. He got touched. And that United Methodist pastor was never the same again. Stand fast in one Spirit. Be in unity. Number four, stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. We are trying to be shaken from that. That's Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. Philippians 4 and verse 1, stand fast in the Lord. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. 1 Thessalonians 3, 7 says, therefore, brethren, in all your affliction and distress, we are comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. Anytime in the Lord is mentioned in the Word of God, it's always followed by an action. Stand fast in the Lord. It means we're moving somewhere with God, but we're standing fast. We're listening. We're following the Lord. In the Lord means several things to a believer. We're in the Lord. We're in His protection. If God calls us, He'll protect us when we get there. Amen. We need to not have any fear. If we know that God told us to do what we're to do, we go despite anything. I remember when God told me to go to Pakistan with John Shiver. And when we were talking about it, he said, you know, I really feel like you should go. He said, by the way, we've hired armed guards. Part of the money we're raising is we've got to pay for these armed guards. And they didn't come cheap. They were armed guards. And so, you know, when my wife found out about that, we needed to pray. We weren't in unity. We were not in unity. And so we prayed, and we both had the peace of the Lord. There's a point in our morning devotions that God spoke to both of us, and we knew that was what we were supposed to do. Stand fast in the Lord. His protection is ours. And not only His protection, but His provision. If God said to do it, He'll provide. Amen. There is no, how am I going to do this? If God says, yes, if we begin to ask, how are we going to do this, when God says to do it, and we begin to say, how is that going to happen? It's a lack of faith. We're double-minded. What's the scripture say? Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man think that he'll receive anything from God. If God says it, I can't say, well, how am I going to... God, how is this going to happen? You remember Zechariah said to the angel, he said, you're going to give birth, your wife's going to give birth to a baby, you're going to name him John. He says, how can that happen? He says, because you didn't believe, you're not going to be able to speak or hear, by the way. Couldn't hear either. How many know John couldn't hear? Or Zacharias couldn't hear? Because they had to make signs to him about the... You read that. But anyway, God took his speech and his hearing from him because he had a lack of faith. He heard, and then he had a lack of faith. If God says to do it, He'll provide. He'll not only protect, He'll provide. And also, what it means to stand fast in the Lord is we have His passion. His passion will carry us through the most mundane task. If you've ever fasted for any length of time, usually you're not hearing anything from God until the fast is over. I don't know about you, but that's the way mine is. If at the end of the fast, then God speaks. It's like God saying, okay, you told me you were going to fast. Let's see if you do it. And I'm not going to say anything to you. Just read my word, pray. And it may not work that way if you were worse. So God gives us His passion. He gives us protection, provision, and His passion. Walking in the Lord. Walking in the Lord. Somebody give me an example of walking in the Lord in action. Walking in the Lord. Yes, Danny. Yes. Amen. Amen. Stand fast in the Lord. That whole property, that whole statement, is if we're in the Lord, He's tops. There's nobody above Him. There's nobody that's going to take it. He's it. If we're in the Lord, we're okay. Number five, stand fast in the traditions. Kind of strange. Stand fast in the traditions. Because we live in a world where, you know, old stuff becomes old. The oldies, the golden oldies, the thing that was yesterday, now it's today. We're going to move into the 21st century. One of the biggest arguments that the world has is come into the 21st century. That's the way we used to think back in the, you know, Ozzie and Harriet days. Ozzie and Harriet and Leave It to Beaver are no longer here. We're in the 21st century. I got news for you. God never changes. God was God with Leave It to Beaver. God's God with Modern Family or whatever. And they're very disappointing to the Lord, I'm sure. So stand fast in the traditions. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Thessalonians 2:15 says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle." So what is tradition? In the original language, the Greek word is paradosis. And it means a giving over either by word of mouth or in writing. Then that which is given over, tradition or the teaching that is handed down from one to another, is the same concurrent teaching over and over and over and over again. How many know that there's not a revision that the word needs? It does not need to come into modern translations to be proven. I know we have modern translations, easier to read, but they better stick to the original. Can't remember the name of the Bible we picked up back in, I think, 95 or 96. It was a, what was it called? I'll think of it in a minute. It was an African-American version. It said, you know, Jesus went with his bros down by the water, you know, and it didn't last very long. It was kind of not good. But this word tradition is found 13 times in the New Testament. If you're taking notes, it's in Matthew 15, Mark chapter 7, 1 Corinthians 11:2, Galatians 1:14, Colossians 2:8, 2 Thessalonians 2:15, and 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6. Tradition is used in the sense of the teachings brought by Paul to the church. Paul said, hold fast to the tradition. Stand fast or hold fast. Hold the traditions of the church. He was not saying hold to the legalistic traditions that have no life in them. He said, what I taught you, stand fast in them. Holding fast to what was taught. Seeing it was from God to the people. His instructions never changed. The importance of this instruction cannot be overstated. We've got to stand fast in what and we see a big movement right now of the church going back to the basic gospel. We went and got this highfalutin stuff and all these things that and never worked. Why? Because the Word of God was compromised. We stay with the Word, it will work. Absolutely imperative that we hold to the Word and the sound Christian doctrine. Let me just go over very quickly the statement of faith and why we as a church hold to the doctrines of the Word. If you don't have a constitution, bylaws, come and ask me and I'll get you a copy. But basically what New Life stands on, we believe the Holy Bible is the inspired, infallible, and authoritative source of Christian doctrine and precept. We don't add anything to it. We don't take any away from it. We believe in the Bible cover to cover. Not cover to cover, but cover to cover. Number two, that there is one God, eternally existence in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Number three, man was created in the image of God, but as a result of sin, is lost and powerless to save himself. Every man born needs a Savior. Amen? I kind of giggle when I ask somebody, do you know Jesus? Yeah, I've always known Him. Are you saved? Yeah, I've always been saved. I've always known Jesus. Is there any time that you ever said a prayer? I've always been saved. No, I've always known Him and me are buddies. We know everyone is in need of a Savior. And we need to encourage people to pray. Religion says that we're always Christian. We used to fill out our work, our job applications. Faith, Christian. How many remember that? You old enough to remember? Writing Christian in the column. We believe that marriage is a sacred institution established by God, the uniting of one man and one woman in a lifetime covenant. Any sexual relationship outside of the covenant of marriage is immoral and sinful, period. Don't want to argue about it. The Word of God says that, right? Amen? The only hope for man is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the virgin-born Son of God, who died to take upon Himself the punishment for the sin of mankind, and who rose from the dead so that by receiving Him as Savior and Lord, man is redeemed by His blood. We also believe that baptism water is a burial with Christ and should be observed as commanded in the Scriptures by all who have repented and received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Not necessary for salvation, necessary for obedience. We also believe that the Holy Spirit indwells those who receive Christ for the purpose of enabling them to live righteous and holy lives. We further believe there's a second blessing called the baptism in the Holy Spirit as an endowment of power for those who receive Christ for the work of Christian ministry and service. We recognize that speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gives utterance is one of the outward manifestations of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Just one. We also believe in celebrating the Lord's Supper as a remembrance and proclamation of the Lord's death until He comes again. We believe that the church is the body of Christ and is composed of all those who through belief in Christ have been spiritually regenerated by the indwelling Holy Spirit. These are eons and eons and eons of basic Christian faith that we hold to. We hold to the traditions of the fathers, traditions of the word. The mission of the church is worldwide evangelism on one hand and the nurture and discipline of Christians on the other. We believe worshiping God in spirit and truth to be one of the most vital points of our church life, and we ascribe to many different expressions of this worship, including singing, standing, clapping, lifting of hands, making music with many different instruments, and dance. Of course, we don't dance much here. We'll talk about that some other time. You can't dance, so we used to do the charismatic two-step. Number six, stand fast in warfare. Stand fast in warfare. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. Ephesians 6, 14. If you'll turn there, Ephesians 6, 14. Most of us have memorized these scriptures. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance, supplication for all the saints. Moving very quickly, the waist, another way to look to that, the support of our body, truth that holds us together. That's the waist. Truth that holds the belt of truth. It holds us together individually and corporately. The breastplate, or our breast, our center, and our heart. Vitally important that we are righteous. God's called us to be righteous. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. It covers and it protects our vital organs. Number three, feet. Walking our talk. We're shod with the gospel of peace. We don't just talk about it, we actually walk it out. We witness to the world and when necessary, use words. When necessary, use words. We walk our talk. The shield of faith. Hiding in and fighting from a position in Christ. Stand fast in warfare. We're ready for the enemy. That shield, by the way, gets rid of all the fiery darts of the enemy. Then the helmet of salvation. Our thought life is sanctified by Jesus Christ. We take every thought into captivity. If we start having thoughts of hate or lust or anything like that, we rebuke it. We stand against it. We're standing fast in warfare. The sword of the Spirit, the word of our offensive weapon, hidden in our hearts. We stand. When the enemy attacks, we strike him with the word. Not just with screaming, although sometimes we feel like screaming, we use the word against the enemy. And of course, prayer, communication, and revelation. Communication and revelation. Many people communicate to the Lord, but we don't hang around long enough for the revelation to come. Prayer, used prayer like this, prophetic revelation, adjusting your earthly reality. Prayer. Prophetic revelation, that means when we pray, we can expect to hear something from God. How many know God wants to guide us, not leave us to guessing? God's not into guessing. So prayer is very, very important. Standing fast in warfare, and the way we do warfare is not beating up on people. Although we feel like it sometimes. Am I the only one that's ever prayed that prayer over especially some leaders? You wonder where they left their brains. I say to my wife all the time, I think they left their brains hanging with their underwear. She would do the same thing if she were here. Don't say that. But then I pray for them because I realize that they have such a large responsibility. And I do warfare in prayer so that their mind can be cleared and hear from God. The greatest thing that could ever happen of some of our leaders getting on NBC and CBS and saying, I've come to Jesus Christ and I repent of everything I ever did. And I give all the money back. That would be great. I put this quote in here. I love this quote in closing. Prayer is the key that opens, the bridge that spans, the road that delivers, the alarm that wakes, the knowledge that teaches, the wisdom that wins, the ground that supports, the support that holds, the deposit that makes rich. Somebody say amen. The vehicle that carries the guarantee of heaven, the defeat of hell, the victory of the believer. Prayer at all times, for all seasons, in all circumstances. Prayer before you talk. Prayer before you plan. Prayer before you buy. Prayer before you act. He is there, He is willing, and He is waiting. When we pray, we can expect that God's going to answer. And we pray at every step. So, again, am I the only one that's ever went ahead and did something and then prayed about it? It's like going out. You ladies maybe understand more than us men. But you're out in a store and all of a sudden you see this tremendous sale. 65% off. So you buy the thing and you go home and tell the husband or tell somebody at the house, or you just say, hey, I just got a deal. I got 65% off. What happened to the 35% that you weren't going to spend in the first place? You didn't really get a deal. You spent the 35% on something. Come on, someone. That's how we do with God. We get this wild idea. We go ahead and do it. And then we say, God, can you please bless this? I can remember doing that with a car I bought early on. Started making a little bit of money in the ministry and bought a car. And was on my way home praying. I said, God, bless this car. And God said, I didn't tell you to buy this car. Guess what? I was stuck with that car for a little while. Did a lot of repenting. Standing fast. That's a good word. We don't pray for that which we already have. We just stand fast on what God has given us. Father, thank you, Lord, for the times and the seasons that we're in. Thank you, Lord, for the shaking that's taking place all over the world. For we know that you said, when everything is shaken loose, what is not shaken will remain. So we thank you for establishing your kingdom. We thank you, Father, that we're not easily shaken, easily tossed away, easily led somewhere else. Father, we'll keep our eyes on you. We'll keep our ears open to you. Father, I pray that this message would go deep within us, that we'd have boldness and confidence in this day that we're living in. Thank you for leading and guiding us. Now may the God of peace settle your heart. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May He make His graciousness, His grace to shine upon you and give you peace. We thank you and we bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.